Hello again, everybody. Welcome to the D1 Baseball Podcast. I'm Aaron Fitt alongside Kendall Rogers and the Baron Mike Rooney. Great to be with you here as we discuss our preseason top 25 rankings. This is going to be a fun podcast brought to you, as usual, by the good people at Driveline Baseball. For college coaches, making updates to your player development system can be a difficult task. Whether limited by time, money, or resources, Driveline has put together solutions to help any and all as they try to move their program forward. By calling or emailing into Driveline's customer support, coaches can work with the experts on creating a custom player development bundle that will stretch their budgets as far as possible. Through the combination of gear, technology, and software, Driveline will work together with coaches to draw out the perfect roadmap for player development in any program. For more, make sure you check these guys out, Driveline Baseball on Twitter, Instagram, or at drivelinebaseball.com. Gentlemen, this is going to be fun. We're playing a game today. The game. This is Jeopardy. Here's your host, Michael Rooney. Mike?
I feel that's a lot of pressure because the late, great Alex Trebek is, you know, I think we could call him the greatest game show host of all time. I will say Fitzy being labeled a baron, that feels very, that I'm down. Like that feels very old school, like you know, a guy with a lot of juice. Count me in on that.
Baron, you got juice.
Yeah, we got juice. I like it. Yeah. So we are going to mess this up throughout the game. I've created categories for us. And as we know in Jeopardy, I give the answer as Alex Trebek, college baseball's Alex Trebek. And then you give, you know, the question. It's a reverse game. So I think we're all going to make multiple mistakes on this. And I just want to put it out there that we each have the green light to ridicule each other when we mess up the format of the game. Does that work for everybody?
Absolutely.
I'm not messing up the format. I'm just telling you that right now.
I like it.
Attention to detail. I'm going to nail this.
Yes. Fitzy calling his shot. I like it. All right. So this is about our top 25 rankings, which, by the way, guys, was a super fun discussion. And it was a blast. Super, super fun. So, okay. First category. The answer is the most fun part of this discussion. So the answer is the most fun part of this discussion. And Fitzy, you can't, there's no buzzer. This is we're gonna go in order. So we're it's
wow,
like,
he's already messed up. We're 30 seconds into the game.
Yeah, that's right. Technically in Jeopardy there is a buzzer, but yeah, not in D1 baseball Jeopardy.
What did you think of my buzzer noise though?
Yeah, that's right.
What is, like, we the Birdman over there?
We need an app for that. Yes. So all right. So the answer is most fun part of this discussion. I'll give you guys my take, and then we'll go to you, Fitzy, with your broken buzzer. What is trying to separate Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas? What is trying to separate Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas? We didn't time ourselves, guys, but we spent a ton of time trying to parse this out. And let's start with this. These are three phenomenal teams, like teams that are for sure going to have something to say about Omaha at the end of the year. You know, Arkansas, I would call it the best position player group in the country. Mississippi State is a really cool combination of some crazy power arms and some veteran hitters. Old Miss has got, you know, every single human back minus Servideo and Keenan, but those are two really big losses. So I think these are three outstanding teams. They are right up against each other, and trying to put those three teams in order was really, really difficult and really fun. So Fitzy, why don't we move to you? And of course, when I move to you guys, feel free to comment on things that have already been commented on. Yeah. Most fun part of the discussion.
And I'll just backtrack there. I think the one thing for me, I have Ole Miss and Mississippi State a little tick ahead of Arkansas. I feel like for me, I just believe in the pitching more for those two teams. And you know what? I mean, I like Arkansas's position player group, but I do not agree with that being the best position player group in the country. I mean, you have some star power with Christian Franklin. We all love Bob Moore, who's never played an SEC game, but we all love Bob Moore. And, you know, Casey Opitz is a really good player, but then you're sticking in some, you know, some JUCO guys that need to do it. Mm-hmm. And certainly I believe Jalen Battles will do it. He sounds like the real deal. I'm not quite as convicted in Brady Slavens, and you know, and then you have some nice kind of support pieces, but like, I think there are teams. Matt Goodhart is a good hitter, but I mean, like, again, it's not like necessarily an All-American kind of a player. I mean, really, I think you're looking at probably two All-Americans with Franklin and Opitz and maybe Bob Moore. So maybe three All-Americans, which I guess that's pretty good.
Right up the middle of the field, too.
Right up the middle of the field, which is a good spot.
That's a good start.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, absolutely. Absolutely it is, but I will take Florida's position player group. I will take Louisville's position player group.
UCLA
is I would take. There are some that I like more. I'll just put that
up. I'm out on the ledge right there. I'm out on the plank, and I'm not afraid to be there.
Fair enough. My answer, and the question, I believe, was most fun part of the exercise for 600, Alex.
Thank you.
What is jamming Wake Forest down Kendall's throat for the third time in the last 4 years?
That's what I'm talking about.
And I'm going to back it up here because I took some junk from, from Kendall because Wake did not live up to my billing in 2019. They were a disappointment. We had them ranked and they did not make a regional. That was unfortunate. And last year they were going to be very good. We had them ranked again. They did, it was 4 weeks. They didn't get off to a great start, but they were fine. They're just getting into ACC play. They were going to be fine. But I will say that in 2017, when we had them ranked, they made us look good. You know, they hosted a regional. They won a regional. They pushed eventual national champion Florida to the brink. So it's not like this program has not done it before. And this year, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. And when we were stacking up all those, that cluster of ACC teams in kind of the teens and 20s in our rankings, and really even outside our rankings, I mean, Duke was very much in the top 25 discussion for us. All those teams, there wasn't a lot of separation, but the one thing about Wake that I think put them ahead of everybody else, I think all those teams, their offense and defenses look pretty good. I really like the position player group for all those teams from NC State, Miami, Florida State, Wake Forest, Georgia Tech, Virginia. They all have really good position player groups. I think Wake has the best pitching of the bunch, starting pitching. You're looking at probably a potential first rounder on Friday nights with Ryan Cusick. And we've talked about Tony Menendez on this show. We've talked about Will Fleming, if that's your Sunday guy, a fourth-year physical power right-hander who's 92-96 with four pitches. That's your Sunday guy. And Shane Smith, who's got one of those invisiballs, third-year, player that can really pitch with the fastball. That's four really nice pieces in the rotation. The only question is the bullpen is a little younger, but they're really exciting arms, freshmen, big-time blue-chip freshmen in that that class that are going to have to carry it. So if those guys do what they're supposed to do, the young guys, then I think Wake Forest is an Omaha team.
That is the greatest. That Fitzy, that is the best answer of the day so far, and we're going to have to really reach to overcome that. That was well played. So
that was a good pitch for Wake, I got to admit.
Yeah, and I love his answer was, what was shoving Wake Forest down Kendall's throat? Like, that was well worded. So
that's not very nice.
Well, hey, it's all, this is competitive college baseball. Come on. So, Kendall, most fun part of the discussion is the answer. What is the question?
I would say what is kind of the middle of the Big 12, specifically West Virginia. I think if you look at, other than Wake Forest, I think West Virginia is kind of the team we discussed the most in terms of the clubs in that teen range. And I think when you look at the Big 12 overall, you have, Texas Tech, Texas, TCU. But after that, you have strong arguments for Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, West Virginia. Obviously, we're probably going to be a little higher than a lot of people in West Virginia being in the middle teens at 14. But, Aaron made some good points. When you look at West Virginia, you have Jackson Wolf back. Ryan Berger was really good in the fall. They got some really nice pieces. And then, don't forget, this is a veteran lineup that was left standing on the field after a grand slam in a regional at home a couple of years ago. So there's a lot of experience here. These guys know what to expect. So I think they're one of those teams, at the beginning, I was looking at West Virginia kind of like, why in the world we put them there? But then, I kind of came around on them a little bit. I think there's a lot of value in that experience. Certainly having those two big horses on the front end of the rotation is pretty special for them. But they keep it on Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma State, again, experienced lineup. If they can get guys like Bryce Osmond to take a step forward, Justin Robleski was really good in the fall. If he can be the guy that was in the fall and the spring, keeping out on Oklahoma State. And then Oklahoma, I think a lot of people are going to sleep on the Sooners just because they lost all three weekend starters. But, you know, Dalton Fowler is a really talented left-handed JUCO transfer they like a lot. Wyatt Olds moves to the front of the weekend rotation. His BART 5 meter is like a 10.5, so I automatically love him. So I think they're going to have a really solid 1-2 punch. And again, kind of like we're talking about Oklahoma State and West Virginia, this is going to be a recurring theme with some of these ranked teams. I really like the experience in Oklahoma's lineup with Tanner Treadaway. You know, you look at Brandon Zaragoza, who's taking steps forward offensively, you know, behind the plate. Justin Mitchell's back for what feels like his, like, 19th year at Oklahoma. And so they've got some really nice pieces. And keep an eye on the Squires kid, too, a power hitter out of the JUCO rank. So I think all three of those teams are going to be good. I will say this, though, and Aaron might disagree with me. I would not be surprised with any order in the Big 12 standings between those three teams. I think all three of those teams are pretty comparable, even though West Virginia does have the two bigger horses on the weekend rotation right now.
And here's where I will disagree with you is I think West Virginia could finish ahead of Texas and TCU. And here's why. I mean, again, like, wow. I think having horses, proven horses at 1-2 punch, two guys that I think could both be All-Americans. I think Jackson Wolf and Ryan Berger, you're looking at two, you know, potential 3-5 round picks who are older, who have experience now. I mean, that to me really stands out. Is not, you're not just like banking on, well, you know, this guy could be good, but he hasn't done it yet. These guys have done it. They have frontline stuff. I love the 1-2 punch, but also I think West Virginia has one of the best bullpens in the country. That's the main reason that I pushed for them to move up in the rankings. And I think I convinced you guys because the power arms in that bullpen are really, really, really impressive. I mean, starting with, you know, Madison Jeffrey and Zach Ottinger. I mean, you're talking about mid-90s wipeout guys with, you know, or mid-90s guys with wipeout secondary stuff. They've got a handful. I mean, more than a few of those guys. I mean, I think in the fall they said they had 10 guys throw 95 or better, which stands out.
That's impressive.
I think power arms really matter now. And the teams that have them, you know, I think that's a big advantage of when you can mix and match with those guys. And the teams that have horses atop the rotation, I'm really looking for that this year.
Yeah, and I would say, too, the Big 12 as a whole, fellas, is really, really intriguing when you look at, you know, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, you know, and the Kansas State with Carson Seymour and Jordan Wicks on the front end. We talk about the 1-2 punch between West Virginia. Kansas State has those two guys on the front end. However, they're just unproven at this point. You know, they're not proven commodities. But, boy, this league's going to be a lot of fun.
I think Wicks is proven, but yeah, I mean, there are a few more question marks for Kansas State, but yeah, I'm totally with you. I mean, I think that league is pretty wide open for me after Texas Tech, frankly. Like, as much as I do like TCU and I do like Texas, I wouldn't surprise me if West Virginia winds up as the number two team there.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's a great one, Kendall, because there's not a team in the Big 12 I don't like is the truth. You know, it's really.
Yeah, even Kansas has some nice horses. They have Hazelwood and guys like that.
No question. So, all right, gentlemen, let's go to our second category, if you will. And the answer is team you personally went back and forth on. Team you personally went back and forth on. My answer is, who is Tennessee? And I'll tell you, I just caught myself having moments where I'm super geeked up about Tennessee. And then I catch myself having more sober moments where I'm like, I don't know, like what, like I feel super convicted on Tennessee, but how many proven commodities are there actually? Like, I know I love Jake Rucker and Max Ferguson, but you know, they struggled through their freshman year, like all freshmen in the SEC do. And then they were off to great starts in our 2020 season, which was 5 minutes long and didn't include any SEC games. And so, like, I really believe in those kids, but they have not had the opportunity to really do it. I think about, they went to a regional in 19, then last year they go 15-2. But when you start to break down the 15-2, they beat Texas Tech in Round Rock. That's big. They beat a Houston team that's got, you know, cachet, but Houston lost a home series to Youngstown State last year. They beat a Stanford team that was having their worst season in, you know, ages. Ever? Yeah, like, and so, you know, and then they lost a home, they being Tennessee, they lost a home series to Wright State to finish the shortened season. So I will say this, where I landed is I am convicted on Tennessee. I think they're going to be very, very good. They do have basically a junior college transfer, Jackson Leith, pitching on Friday nights, which is, you know, sort of unheard of in this league, but I believe in this coaching staff. I know they've got talent. I know they're going to play with an edge. I'm all in on Tennessee, but you know, it was an interesting mental conversation going back and forth. So my answer is, who is Tennessee?
To me, you know, one of the things that stood out for me was just having conversations with people, scouts who you know, made the rounds in the fall. And I kept hearing over and over again, Tennessee is in that top group of SEC teams. You know, they're the scouts who saw them walked away really liking them. And to me, that carries weight, you know, and yes, you're right. Like, you've got a JUCO guy as your Friday night starter, but I think it matters that he at least was there last year. You know, he's had a chance to acclimate to Division I, even though he only, you know, was there for 4 weeks during the spring when the season was canceled.
So
I you cut out on me there, Kendall. What'd you say?
I said he was electric when he did pitch too.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, and Chad Dallas is kind of the same profile, right? Like, he was also, I believe, in that was he was a JUCO guy last year too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I want to say he started on Fridays in Round Rock. I'll say this, guys. The teams they played in Round Rock were not playing well at the moment. But this is a lineup that top to bottom was very much locked in. I mean, when you look at, you know, Jake Rucker, you know, a couple of years ago didn't have the greatest numbers, but he was just outstanding at the beginning of last year. You know, talk about, you know, Max Ferguson, you know, Evan Russell, Luke Lipsius. There's just a lot of really nice pieces here, and I thought they had a very balanced lineup last year. I don't think the lineup's a remote concern for me. I think they're going to be very, very solid offensively. I think it's just a matter, you know, does Jackson Leith move from the bullpen to that starter's role, and does he excel? Does a guy like Drew Gilbert continue to take steps forward? That's the question mark for me. And I think when you look at Tennessee, when you look at Frankie Anderson's history, the history is kind of on his side here. So I think Tennessee is going to be really good. And we all know the Vols are going to play with a little chip on their shoulder. They're going to play with a little bit of an edge, and that matters in that league.
I like it. It's like a program with a high bar fight meter reading.
It really is. I mean, they play well, I wasn't going to say this, but they play very hard.
Yeah,
and you know, they've and it's funny that we're giving them so much stock, considering this is a program that's been to one regional in the last 15 plus years now. But you know, this coaching staff so far, I mean, they've clearly shown that they're a difference maker, and their program has an up arrow.
Yeah, and I look at Tennessee too. The fact that they got off to the start they did last year, and yeah, they lost the Wright State series, which ironically enough was when they got Crochet back. I think he actually pitched that weekend. But the fact they got off to that good of a start without a guy who was in the big leagues over the summer, to me, was really impressive, and kind of spoke about you know, their depth, both mainly just on the mound. So I'm excited to see what they can do this year. I think it'd be a really good team.
Love it. Fitzy, would you like me to repeat the question,
no,
the answer?
No, I'll take teams that I went back and forth on for 1,000 here, rooms. and I'm going to say, who is Arizona?
Oh, I was going to take them.
Well, I mean, I don't think you can take them, because you would have just pumped them up and up and up. You didn't go back. I went back and forth because I do really like the position player group. Again, it's one that I think, you know, you've got some guys that have big names that haven't necessarily performed yet. I mean, you know, like Tony Bullard, who is well-regarded as a prospect, but he hasn't really done it yet. You know, I think Jacob Blas has started to figure it out, but we need to see him, you know, as a full year as your shortstop. But, you know, I still like all the pieces here, Dante Williams and Mac Bingham and Ryan Holgate and Brandon Boissier. There's some, I think, some physicality here. They're going to hit a ton of doubles and, you know, as usual, probably a lot of triples in that big ballpark. The pitching is just, and the defense are the question marks. And we're putting a lot of stock in some of these new faces to come in and make a real difference. And we're putting in a lot of stock in Nate Yeske, you know, it's the pitching coach there, second year in Tucson. We're asking him to do a lot with a group of guys that doesn't have that much of a track record, really. Can Chase Silseth come right in, as we talk about a JUCO guy on Friday nights, who ironically started at Tennessee, but you know, this is a big arm, but the experience level, you know, in pitching in Division One. He didn't even have a 4-week stint to kind of get his feet under him last year, like Jackson Leith did. So, you know, I think there are question marks with Arizona, and ultimately, I'm comfortable where we have them in the 20s. What is it, 22, I believe. But I could see them being higher.
They will be higher.
When it's all said and done, they could be, Kendall.
Arizona will finish ahead of Wake Forest end of the year.
Oh, that's got board bet written all over it.
Mark it down. Absolutely. Here's the deal about Arizona, guys. Arizona 2 years ago went 32-24. They finished over 500 in Pac-12 play. They had a 6.23 ERA. Now, Arizona's going to be balanced offensively this year. So I'm thinking if Nate Yeske can get that pitching staff to have an ERA around 4, they're going to win a lot more games than they did 2 years ago when they won 32 games. So I don't know about you guys, but like I don't think the guys ever had a pitching staff with an ERA over like 3.24. So I'm liking my chances of like a mid 4.5.
He's pitched with this pitching staff. He's coached in Corvallis all these years, Kendall, which is one of the more pitcher friendly places to. And now he's going to a place that's a very hitter friendly. It's apples and oranges. You can't expect.
Fourth night of beer is on you or me. Arizona will finish higher than Wake at the end of the season.
I will.
As per the rankings, or no? Are we using a different metric?
I think postseason rankings is a good metric because, you know, whichever team makes a farther run in the postseason, which will be Wake Forest because they're going to Omaha.
Sorry, Tommy Walsh. I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing at Aaron. Don't worry, buddy.
I'm just saying, Wake Forest is going to Omaha. I could put it on the board.
So let's go to Runes here. He saw Arizona this fall. Like, am I overselling Arizona a little bit?
Well, I think, Kendall, we may get to this category later, but I think this is a team with a wide range of outcomes. I think where I went back and forth on Arizona is the things that excite me the most are the freshman class. Like, I think TJ Nichols is going to be a monster on the mound, but he's a true freshman and probably begins the year as a reliever. I think Jacob Berry is a middle of the order bat from day one. But he's probably going to DH too. So, you know, this is a kid, a switch hitter with feel for the barrel big time. And Nate Yeske is another, you know, so, and I am very concerned about the defense, you know, that infield defense, you know, Fitzy said it beautifully. Jacob Bloss is talented and his statistics are fine, but he just really hasn't won the job, locked it up. And this is his fourth year in the program. So like that's, you know, and he's your shortstop. You're going to have a true freshman catcher. So I think that's where I'm at with Arizona. There are things that really excite me, but anytime I'm concerned about defense, that really gives me pause. And maybe that's just a personal bias, but that's something that I think, and I think about Texas a couple years ago, when they finished dead last in the Big 12, that's the same year they swept LSU. And I think that was 2019, right? Yeah. And if you think about it, where did Texas fall apart defensively? You know, they got banged up at catcher and then that whole thing imploded from the inside. And so, I think I could see Arizona hosting a regional. I could see them finishing second in the Pac-12. I mean, there's a lot that Arizona can do.
Good call.
Yeah, I just don't know, like to call my shot with Arizona, I'm just not ready to do that yet. So, Kendall, you're up, by the way.
For me, it is who is UC Santa Barbara. I'm a big Andrew Checkitz believer. There's no doubt about that. He's done an incredible job at UCSB. But I will say this about UCSB is, you know, being a, you know, top 11 team, I think when you look at the Gauchos overall, I feel very good about their pitching staff. When you look at, you know, Rodney Boone, Zach Tora, Michael McGreevy, you know, Chris Troy back. He had a great fall. I think Stitch saw him up to 98, 99 in the fall. And so I feel very good about their pitching staff. But the question mark I have with these guys, and I think y'all did make some good points, you know, when we were debating this, that in the West Coast with the style of play, you don't necessarily need to have, you know, just a bunch of great average hitters. But I will say this is a team that returns two guys that hit over 280 last year. And granted, it's a short, you know, litmus test, but you know, this is not a very deep lineup in terms of proven results. So I could very easily see, you know, UCSB struggling offensively and not being anywhere near where we have them, but I could also see them pitching at a high level, overachieving a little bit offensively, and frankly, maybe even finishing a little higher. But I really went back and forth on UCSB as a team in that range. Honestly, like, I very much like LSU more than UCSB. But, you know, again, I understood the pitches for the Gauchos.
Yeah, I think, Kendall, it's fair on UCSB. Like, I'm putting a lot of stuff. I'll say this about their position player group. They're unproven, but I do like that there's some older pieces there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bryce Willits was really good at St. Mary's before he transferred. I'm a big believer in McLean O'Connor. You know, that's an older athlete. You know, if he can stay healthy, you know, Marcos Castanon, I mean, you know, was breaking out. So, and, you know, I just think at the end of the day, that pitching staff is just an absolute monster. And the fact that Michael McGreevy is now a sinker slider guy with pitchability who's touching 96 is, I mean, they're going to be a nightmare to face in a weekend series.
Edger Sunday guy too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what he is. It's like they got three Friday guys at this point.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Zach Toro was getting, you know, top 5 to 7 round buzz last year, heading into the draft. You know, that's three guys, you know, and Rodney Boone people like for this year, you know, fantastic changeup guy, really pitches. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like about the pitching staff. And I think a big key will be Jason Willow, you know, in center field, a guy that, you know, I've been waiting on for a few years now. You know, staying healthy has been an issue, but he's willowy, you know, he's tooled up, kind of a, I mean, seriously, he's like a long strider, very fluid looking athlete, and just need him to go out there and perform now. It's time. He had a great fall.
Love
what
it.
What if we would have told, you know, what if somebody would have told us 6 years ago that UC Santa Barbara would be the class of the Big West? You know, like they've done an incredible job there. It's what, three of the last 5 seasons, they've won 40 plus games. Regionals, three of those years, all three of those years, they won 40 games. You got to Omaha, one of them. They've done a pretty incredible job.
Yeah,
I think Andrew Checkitz is just as good as there is at running a college baseball program. And it doesn't surprise me when you start thinking about who he's been around, because Santa Barbara was a fine college baseball program, and he's turned it into what you just said, Kendall, the best, you know, like arguably the best program in
the most consistent. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, think about this. Andrew Checkitz played, his high school coach was Pat Bailey. I mean, think about that. He's been around Dennis Rogers of Riverside City. Gary Henderson is a mentor of his. He worked for George Horton. He worked for Pat Casey. He played, or not, didn't work for Pat Casey. Played for Pat Casey. He played for Andy Lopez. So, yeah, I think Andrew Checkitz is a real separator. And Santa Barbara, just, they nailed it. They nailed the hire is what it boils down to. So,
yeah.
Hey, let's go to the next category. Next category is team with the widest range of outcomes. Team with the widest range of outcomes. My answer, who is Florida State? Mm-hmm. I just don't know what to make of them. I really believe in this coaching staff. You know, I'm a big Jimmy Bellinger fan. You know, I think Meat was a slam dunk. I think the thing about Meat, because he's so famous because of who his dad is and he's been there forever, I just think he's one of the best offensive coaches we have in college baseball. You know, he really is the secret sauce behind those offenses. And I think they're gonna, you know, you think about Robbie Martin and Reese Albert who are back. But I, you know, Parker Messick is the Friday night guy, and by all accounts, he's made big jumps. But he's most famous for a relief appearance in his true freshman year against Florida. So that's a big jump, you know. And the Montgomery kid is one of the most highly ranked freshmen coming to campus, but he still is a true freshman who really didn't get a senior year of high school baseball. So Nander DeSantis is a famous player who has really struggled in his college career. And he's still their starting shortstop as we sit here today. You know, Elijah Cabell could hit 25 home runs and strike out 10,000 times this year. I mean, that is still awesome. You know, like I Elijah Cabell is really an interesting wild card for them, because this kid has as much raw power as anybody in America. So I'm all over the place. I could see Florida State and Omaha. I could see them scraping their way into a regional. I don't know. I'm kind of all over the map with these guys.
Yeah. And I'm a believer in the pitching depth. I just think it's a pitching staff unlike we've ever seen at Florida State with all the power arms. And again, I go back to that. We were talking about that with West Virginia earlier. Just a lot of guys that are legitimate mid-90s guys with, you know, power outpitch breaking balls. They'll find the right combinations of those guys. And, you know, the other thing is, like, you know, you still have, you know, Connor Grady, and you still have Jack Anderson. I mean, you still have some other pieces that maybe are a little less sexy than some of those big name arms that that could slide in and eat up innings for you in the starting role. And then, you know, Bryce Hubbert could really click this year, second year freshman that they're very high on, big, you know, power breaking ball left-hander. So I just think there's so many good arms that, and I really like Jimmy Belanger, and I think he's going to, you know, find the way to use all these guys. And I think, you know, they're going to hit like they always do with meat, and, you know, certainly with Robbie Rakes and Reese Albert and Cabell. I mean, you know, look, even like you say, even if Cabell strikes out 90 times, I think he'll hit 20-25 homers and, mm-hmm. you know, steal bags and throw people out and be an exciting player. I mean, there's a lot of value in that.
Scary dude. Fitzy, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to say Miami, because, you know, because the league is so deep, if their freshman arms don't grow up in a hurry, you know, they could find themselves at the back of that big old pack of teams in the middle of the ACC. If those freshman arms live up to their billing, they're the number one ranked newcomer group in the country. We obviously really like the talent, but you're replacing all three weekend starters from last year's very good team. And that's an issue. But, you know, if those guys can find their footing early on, then this is an Omaha team, because I think it's got an argument for being the best position player group in the country. You know, you talked about with Arkansas. I mean, this Miami team has maybe more power than anybody, with Alex Terrell and, you know, Raymond Gill and Del Castillo. And now you throw in Yohandy Morales and, you know, Gabe Rivera's got power. JP Gates has power. Even Tony Jenkins has power. I mean, there's a lot of guys that can run the ball out of the park. There's athleticism, there's versatility. They need to defend. That to me is maybe my biggest question mark. In addition, other than the youth on the mound, but those are two question marks that are legitimate. I mean, will they be good enough on defense? You know, is Del Castillo a real catcher? Like we think he might be, but we don't really know. You know, can they be better at shortstop? Where's Morales going to play? You know, I mean, how are those pieces going to fit together? I mean, maybe is Morales the shortstop as a true freshman? He's a bigger guy. I mean, or does he move maybe to third base and you put like a scrapper, like a Dominic Patelli in there, or maybe you play Villar at short. I don't know. I mean, there's combinations that they'll need to figure out. So I think there's a wide range of outcomes here. I think it could be an Omaha team, or I think it could be a fringe regional team, kind of in the bottom of that big bubble of ACC teams in the middle.
KR, what do you? That's a good one. I'm with you, Fitzy. Miami's got star power on the upside, and they've got just, you know, kids in diapers at the other side of the roster, and how those two things marry themselves together, really, like you said beautifully, that's where they end up. KR, how would you answer this, or what question would you formulate for this category?
KR's on mute.
Take two.
Well, my first answer was going to be Miami. We knew somebody had to screw up since Aaron did on like the first like 10 seconds of it. So I'm going to say, who is Auburn? You know, I think the biggest thing with Auburn is when you look at the depth of the Southeastern Conference, I like the offense. I don't love it. I do think they have some nice pieces with Steven Williams, Cason Howell, Ryan Bliss. I don't think it's going to be a great lineup, but I think it's going to be a solid lineup. But I will say about the pitching staff, you know, we're counting on some guys here who are improving. You know, Richard Fitz, he's a terrific prospect. He had a great fall. When Aaron saw him, he was amazing. But he still has to go out there and prove that he is kind of that guy in actual games against opponents. And so you look at him on Friday nights, you know, if he pans out, you know, the sky could be the limit for Auburn. If he doesn't pan out, or, you know, it's just average, then Auburn could struggle. You look at Cody Greenhill making the move from the bullpen to the weekend rotation. Then you look at the back end with a guy like Mason Barnett, their projected closer, being a true freshman. You know, there's a scenario here where if things don't just totally line up for that rotation, not only could they not finish where we have them, I mean, they could be behind Alabama and Texas A&M and teams like Missouri very easily. So I think for me, it's Auburn. I just think I'm a believer, But I could definitely see a scenario where Alabama, A&M, and potentially even Missouri can finish ahead of them if, you know, those two weekend starters and Barnett don't have great years.
And I will say that I feel kind of the opposite about Auburn. I feel like they're just kind of that boring, unsexy, like steady, higher floor kind of a pick. I think we, you know, given the experience in the lineup, all those kind of proven Omaha veterans, you can count on those guys. Barnett, actually a second-year freshman, you know, so he at least had a year to get his feet underneath him, and he's electric. I mean, he's a real dude. And, you know, the guys like Jack Owen, you know, and Brooks Fuller, I mean, these are maybe not like the most exciting, you know, flame-throwing guys, but they're winners with good track records, you know, and from the left side, that stuff plays. And I just think that they, you know, I believe in Richard Fitz, who, okay, maybe he hasn't been an SEC Friday night starter before, but he has pitched in the league. He's pitched in Omaha. They believed in him even when he was a true freshman. He was pitching in Omaha, meaningful innings, you know. And so if you compare him to the experience of some of these other guys who are going to be, you know, Friday night starters in the SEC, you know, I mean, as much as I love Connor Prelip, he's never even pitched an SEC game, you know. Same goes for Jack Leiter. Who's not their Friday guy, but you know, there's a lot of players here. Jackson Lee, yeah. I mean, Thomas Farr, I mean, Spencer Miles, I mean, really up and down the SEC, there's a lot of guys. Jaden Hill is very little, you know, experience even at this point, even as a third year player in the SEC. Bryce Miller, there's a lot of guys in the SEC that have big arms that are, I think, less proven than Richard Fitz is. Alex, I think you're on mute.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. And Fitz is, you know, we talked about this in our previous pod. There you go. We got mute issues. They have such a great tradition of Friday night studs at Auburn. And that was, you know, something to easily ding them on until the Fitz development, if you will.
The Fitz factor. We kept bringing it up in our rankings meeting. The Fitz factor. Oh, well, you're comparing them to somebody else. And you say, but they've got, I think, a first team All-American on Friday nights in Richard Fitz. That, to me, was a separator for them over other teams we were talking about.
No question. All right, gentlemen, final category. Teams you were really disappointed that didn't make the cut. Teams that were just crushing to leave out. And I think we all feel this way. I have several directions I could go here, and I'm going to go a little bit off the map on this, but I'm going to say, who is Arizona State? And I'll tell you what I'm saying, thinking there. There's an emotional element. I know I'm heartbroken for that coaching staff and that program, that they had a team that could have won the national title last year. They've been under some fire. They haven't been to Omaha in a long time, since 2010 to be exact. And they had a win it all team last year, and it all goes poof. And then, you know, they scrap it. They've got a really nice roster right now. It's a very deep roster. Their recruiting coordinator, Ben Greenspan, as I watch them in a fall scrimmage, there's not, you know, if you're watching 18 position players scrimmage out there, there's not a bad player on the field. I mean, they've got serious depth, but do they have enough, like, top of the league players becomes the challenge. I think our Arizona State's going to really pitch. They've got depth on the mound. They've got older kids on the mound that have been out there. I think they're going to really defend. I think Drew Swift will be one of the best shortstops on the West Coast. But here's the problem: losing Connor Davis in the middle of that lineup, who's out with ACL injury, that eliminated him from this conversation for me. Now, I do think they will be able to put a nice lineup on the field because of the depth they've accumulated. Hey, Aubrey Major was a famous transfer. I'm not convinced Aubrey Major is going to be in this lineup. I'm not convinced he's going to be one of their top nine. I think that speaks to the options they have from the position player side. But again, I thought there's a little karma to me for Arizona State that I think if they get themselves in the postseason, I think they're going to be a very dangerous team because they will pitch and defend, and they do have a talent level there. But it was a bummer to me that they weren't, you know, that they didn't end up being a top 25 team.
Yeah, that's an interesting answer, because that's one that I think you're higher on than the rest of us. And certainly I know you're a lot higher on ASU than Kendall is. But yeah, I mean, they sound like, you know, this could be like a post-hype sleeper year for ASU. I'm intrigued. I've got a couple of teams here to mention. obviously Duke, because this was team 26 for us. I hated leaving Duke out. I think we're going to regret that, because this is a program that has upward momentum. You know, obviously they've been to super regional each of the last 2 years we had super regionals. The reason they're not ranked, they did lose Jarvis at the front end of the staff and Gerard at the back end, and those are significant losses. And Matt Mervis is a significant loss, but they bring back a whole lot. Certainly, I want to see the pieces come together on the mound. I'm not, quite convinced that there's that true like number one dude. Maybe it's Henry Williams winds up being that guy, but he barely pitched last year. And he needs to prove it. And, Cooper Stinson is there. Jack Carey is there. They have nice pieces in the mound, but I want to see it. Whereas, Georgia is a team that I think is a little bit of the opposite. I really, really like their rotation. Another one that I feel like we might wind up kicking ourselves, because we talked about these guys. And I just think with Ryan Webb and Jonathan Cannon and CJ Smith, boy, I mean, they're going to be in every weekend series. And they do have plenty of depth on the mound. They can mix and match. You look at their position player group and you think, it's not that much star power in the older classes. I mean, the Tate brothers really need to carry a big load there, but there is star power in that freshman class. And I think if those guys come in, Corey Collins and Fernando Gonzalez and Garrett Spikes and Parks Harbor, if those guys come in and do what I think they can and make a big difference right away, then Georgia could be really dangerous with their pitching. So those two teams stick out. And then I want to mention Southern Miss, just because I think they're a fun team. Again, you look at the starting pitching, I think we'll carry them. I think they're going to be the class of their league. And once again, you've got some pretty exciting freshmen there in the position player group that if they come in and hit the ground running, it's kind of a game changer for them. It kind of gives them a little bit of that star power, with Slade Wilkes in particular. That's the thing to keep an eye on, because otherwise the position player group has some nice kind of grinder veteran pieces, but they need that impact talent to emerge. And I think if it does, then look out.
Love it. Kendall, what are you going with here?
I'm going to say, who are Oklahoma and Alabama? Alabama is one of those teams, as we kind of sorted out these SEC teams, was tough to rank. But I could see Alabama being ranked in the season very easily. I think when you look at this club overall, I like some of the offensive pieces they have with, getting, Sam Prater back, TJ Reeves, Owen Diodati. Then you look at the pitching staff. We've talked about Connor Prelip and kind of his comparison to even a guy like Asa Lacy. He hasn't started an SEC game, but, can he be the guy that he was in the fall in the SEC? If he can, that's a game changer for the Crimson Tide. And then you look at Tyler Raz and, Connor Chamblin's a kid that, was up to 94 in the fall that, Brad Bohannon really, really likes. And so, Alabama has a chance to have a solid offense, a solid 1-2 punch. And they certainly added depth to their pitching staff. So, Alabama's a club that, it's easy to leave them out, but I think they could really surprise a lot of people in the spring. I think Oklahoma, for me, is the other team. I like this club. I thought the difference between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State was minuscule. I think when you look at Oklahoma, there's a lot of depth from an offensive standpoint. We mentioned Olds and Fowler, but they also added, Luke Taggart from Incarnate Word, who was very good during his career with the Cardinals. He gives in that veteran presence on a Sunday, which we all know is so important. And then you look at the back end of the rotation, or the back end of the bullpen, with, Jason Ruffcorn has a big time live arm. Christian Roback, had a nice fall. Then you throw Jake Bennett in there. They're going to have a deep pitching staff as well. The question with Oklahoma is just, that front of their rotation, will Fowler, kind of be the guy that he was in the fall, and can Wyatt Olds make that transition from the bullpen to the rotation? If he can, not only do I think Oklahoma's top 25 caliber, I think Oklahoma's a top 15, 16 kind of club if those two things pan out.
I'm with you on that, KR. It broke my heart for Oklahoma to not make that cut. I'm really in on them.
Well, I feel like Oklahoma is a little like, I feel like Oklahoma from a pitching standpoint reminds me a little of Tennessee. Like there's some nice pieces. There's not some amazing pieces and they're improving, but I also trust Skip Johnson, just like Frank Anderson, to have his pitching staff ready. The biggest difference between these two teams, I just think Tennessee has more firepower offensively, which is why they're ranked.
I'll tell you, I'll add another team to this list. Who is Connecticut?
Yes.
Would not surprise me at all. I'll tell you two things that won't surprise me at all. Ben Kasperius is a freaking dude for UConn. And now I know he's unproven, but you know, this is a kid that had two knocks as a true freshman when he was at North Carolina in Omaha. Like this is an athlete and a, you know, like he's a really talented kid. And I think UConn is going to be fairly dominant in the Big East. And I think it's all on the table for UConn. They're a very deep, old, talented team.
Go ahead, Aaron.
I really wanted to rank them. I'm totally with you there, Runes. I mean, and you know, Kasperia certainly was a buzzy player in the fall, but even beyond that, I mean, Austin Peterson and Jimmy Wang are exciting kind of emerging talents in the rotation. And Caleb Worster is still there, who's really nasty, low slot lefty at the back of the bullpen. And I think having a healthy Patrick Winkle back behind the plate, it will just make a huge difference for them too. Their position player group is nice, man. I mean, with the Winkle brothers and you know the Fedcos are also both still there, and Reggie Crawford, one of my favorite two-way talents. But really, really, the bat is exciting there. This team is going to be good. I like UConn a lot.
No question.
And how about this with UConn real quick? UConn's non-conference schedule, fellas. They're at Virginia, at Southern Miss, and at Texas Tech. Boy, howdy on that one, huh?
Buckle your chin straps, Husky. I like it.
It's like jumping in the lava pit right there, brother.
Oh, I love that. That's how they UVA. Roll.
UConn,
that's
how they UVA roll could, in be stores. A, could be an opening weekend destination for me. I think that's a fun series. That's,
I love it. Gentlemen, well done. We will have tons of rankings talk as we navigate through this preseason. We'll be talking about all these teams and then some, but a great kickoff. Well done. Nobody violated the Jeopardy rules, so Alex Trebek didn't have to yell at anybody.
I think I did, and you guys didn't catch it. I think I actually messed it up a couple times, despite all my big talk.
Well, you played through it.
Fitzy, I'm smooth. Though. I'm smooth.
Play through your mistakes, and maybe you won't get caught. I like it.
There you go.
Nice job, boys.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure. I hope everyone out there is enjoying picking apart our rankings, giving us a hard time, I'm sure, in the comments and on Twitter. But ultimately, you know, this is to generate discussion. This is what we think is going to happen. But really, this year in college baseball, it's just so wide open. When you look at how many really good teams there are because of how much talent is in the sport right now, this is going to be a really fun year if we can navigate the COVID stuff effectively, because college baseball has never been stronger. So good luck trying to figure out what's going to happen. This is our best bet. Gentlemen, always a pleasure talking with you both. We'll be back again next week. Until then, so long, everybody.